It is time for the Media Beat with David Tarachuk. David joins us every Friday morning. He, of course, has his own website, themediabeat.us. You can find him putting posts up on Huffington Post. And also, he's a PBS television correspondent reporting on ethics and belief. Good morning, David.
Well, good morning.
Now, I have to ask you a question. I've sworn off watching news. Okay,
it's all too much. I know.
I was
the,
home.
The news, it's unbearable.
It really is.
It's unwatchable. Put it that way.
But you know what? It's like that old line. They keep dragging me back in because.
Oh, you don't say. You know, it's hard to put this stuff down once you're addicted to it.
Well,
I know.
Well, yesterday I saw the headline.
No matter how much abstaining you want to go in for.
Well, because
and of course it has been a particularly resonant week, so it's hard to stay away from it. I, as you know, I often preach the notion of a Sabbath. When we're talking, that it's good to take one day, at least one day, off from all the news media, especially in electronic form, every week. It's not that I was about to do that, but I certainly feel that this last 24 hours is a time when it would have been quite impossible, even for the most dedicated abstainer to stay away. I just cast my eye over the main sources, primary and usually quite reliable, or certainly indicative, websites for the news this morning. And the New York Times says it's a day of upheaval. Washington Post says it's under siege. Trump propels government and markets into crisis. HuffPost says conservatives admitting it's time to panic. That's a rich one, I think. Yeah. And MSNBC, Chris Matthews is predicting Trump could resign in coming weeks. Bloomberg says Mattis' resignation puts Trump's presidency in peril. And even Fox News, how about this? Fox News says Pentagon boss search could hit snag. Even Fox News sees there's something of a problem here. They're talking about front runner candidates for General Mattis at the Pentagon, actually being all against the Syria and Afghanistan withdrawal. So it all spells trouble for President Trump. Even a resignation, though, that I have to say is probably putting it a little too far.
That is putting it way too far. But you know, the interesting thing is Donald Trump has been an absolute master at taking the news cycle when things are going bad for him and moving it around. But what he has managed to do in the last 48 hours is move it around at such a frenetic pace that I don't know what other allies of the United States feel, but they have to be shaken by the grabbing of the news cycle by Donald Trump in the last 48 hours with just three or four acts that to allies don't add up.
Well, sure, none of it adds up in a sort of traditional rational sense. I'm not one of them, but there are people, of course, who make a very careful study of Trump's tweets. And as we know, it's erratic, it's mercurial, the Twitter feed. I've heard it being argued in the last 24 hours that this time, Trump really has lost it. Well, I don't know. I don't know how you can quite graduate the degree of mercurialness, if that's the right noun. But yes, all of Europe are convinced that he's just lost it completely this time. I say all of Europe, that's a journalistic exaggeration. But if you scan the European reaction, you'll find a considerable degree of unanimity that the ship of state of the United States is completely rudderless at the moment.
Or else we've become totally isolationist. He's trying to bring us into it's just going to be the United States against the world. And that just that's not the United States. It's not the United. I'm not saying the United States. Hardly.
I do remember a very important altercation, which was regarded at the time as just silly. Well, so some people thought it was a piece of heroic political principle standing. You know, standing on principle when Margaret Thatcher from Britain was with the British Commonwealth, an outfit that comprises 49 countries, most of them former British colonies. And the issue was apartheid in South Africa, and she refused to go along with a near unanimous, well, it was unanimous. She actually signed the previous day, she'd signed an anonymous declaration by the Commonwealth countries to put sanctions against South Africa for their apartheid policies, and the next day she reneged on that, and I remember the press conference very well when I wasn't the only one to be asking the question, how can you do this, Prime Minister, when it's you against 48 other countries? And she said, well, if it's me against 48, I feel sorry for the 48. And it seems like yes, Trump could put himself in a position of being United States against the rest of the world, but it's not a policy that is likely to work. At least that's the feeling of most people who who are in a position to to judge and to know how these things actually work. I think you're right. It's an isolationist stance taken to extremes at this moment, and it's hard to see how that could actually function in a real world scenario.
Well, yesterday it was just a normal, exciting news, David, with the drone and with the stock market. That's just so a normal.
As if that wasn't enough.
But then everything just blew up after that. Everything just totally blew up. It was I managed to stumble onto it, and it was amazing to watch. It really was. And the prediction commentators, I can't stand. The commentators that talk in real time, I had no problem with. But there was three or four on all the various networks that were predicting, and predicting is no good. I did like the real time interviews with the different Congress people, and with the different senators, and with the different defense people. I enjoyed that. I pulled a lot out of that. But where network news for me goes astray is when all of a sudden, and you just said, Chris Matthews starts predicting a resignation, or predicting this, or predicting that. If it's one thing you've learned from this president, it's what, David?
Oh, just never predict. But, I mean, I would say that with every president anyway, yeah. But this one just reinforces it absolutely. So, the end of the year is when journalists are invited most of all, and here we are at the end of the year. And I am constantly under barrages of requests, at least, to how's it going to go? How's it going to go? Well, the prediction business is not what journalists should do, I don't think.
No.
And now more than ever is the time just to zip our lips and just watch carefully.
Yeah,
but in terms of real-time commentary as if things are coming along, I think the quote of the day over the last 24 hours was from Putin's day-long press conference. No, I exaggerate now. It was a four-hour press conference. Which is customary for him every year. But the best quote of the day was on the matter of the United States exit from Syria at the behest of Donald Trump's Twitter feed. Putin put it so neatly. He said, Donald is right. And I agree with him.
And today, MSNBC has decided the new enemy is Turkey. And it's really funny because Noah Rothman, it's hilarious. This is this morning. The problem is Turkey. We've been paying all of this attention to Russia.
This is the same country, Turkey, that stood up for human rights when a journalist was murdered
the one.
On its soil.
That's the one. And I'm listening going, okay, so you're now drawing about the goons during the protest, and
they're also talking about the Kurds in Syria with Turkey. That's the main thing. I mean, we're doing to the Kurds in Turkey what we did to after the first Gulf War.
Well, the Iraqi, the anti-Saddam.
Yeah, yeah. You know, we set them up and said,
you're leaving them in the lurch.
Good luck, and that's. Led to most of our problems.
And
there.
I think that that's very important to mention as you sit and listen to the commentators that have been telling you all year, you know, giving you your information, talk about, again, the top line diplomatic, let's call it, aspects of it, without saying, hey, and P.S., check this out, because we are doing X, Y, Z. And I think that if I have any wish for next year in journalism, it's that old, I wish for context. I really do.
Well, I think you're right. And what happened yesterday, what most people missed, and thank God Mattis wrote that terrific resignation letter. It really was a terrific letter. What most people missed was that there is an absolute disconnect between Donald Trump and his advisors, and Mattis couldn't take it anymore, and Trump couldn't take Mattis anymore. But that's the big story, is the disconnect between the advisors and the president.
Well, I don't know if this is just...
Well, only the yes men are left, yes men and yes women, yeah.
Right, and then this is why context is important, because you have to look at who is like behind the yes men and yes women. Because they do exist. I think frequently of our Secretary of State when I make a comment like that. But moving slightly to whether or not this is misinformation, I do not know. But I found a couple of different places that had said that Mattis was leaving in at the end of January. Anyway, like this was pre... Now, I don't know whether
His particular term, what he'd agreed to in the first place, was a placement that would only last until the end of January of 2019. It was assumed by many people, and certainly everyone in the state, in the Defense Department, who was authorized to speak yesterday, right up until the very last minute, like 6 p.m. yesterday, were briefing to journalists on the basis of, yeah, of course he's going to stay. I mean, he's a general who does, who takes it upon himself to exercise deep responsibility, and he knows it's difficult. The disagreements with President Trump are difficult for him, but he's going to stick it out and argue his case, and like a dutiful general, will withdraw when he sees that he's not winning the argument. But he'll do his damnedest to represent the best interests of this country, and he's certainly not going to resign. Well,
and then
not to be the case. But that date in 2019 was always on the calendar as a possibility. But it was always assumed that he would just renew the position, and of course now he won't be.
All right, but I just saying, in terms of brains working the way that brains were wired to do, do you not, or would you not find it more efficient? Because then when you're comparing against what you've just said, you go, oh wow, that's a completely, it sort of cuts through a person's ability to critically think about the information that they're getting. If you go, yes, well, that was on the calendar, but everybody was briefed saying that's absolutely not going to happen, he's going to renew, doesn't that put a slightly different angle?
No.
No?
Not on what happened. No. If
why, for if, someone who thinks...
If
well, in this case, Mattis got to a bridge too far.
Right? No, I understand, but what I...
He couldn't practice that extraordinary capacity
learning,
he had for putting up with it.
Wait one second.
Learning about troops being withdrawn by a tweet instead of in a meeting with the generals, it changes the whole situation, changes the whole picture.
Right. I couldn't agree more. What I'm trying to say is what gets lost in this... dialogue is that there are two sides, and for people who
crazy and not crazy,
I'm prompted to revert to the original British version of the House of Cards political thriller. The British character who ended up being played in the American version by Kevin Spacey was so supreme in his response so often to the statement of the perfectly obvious, but because of his devious position, he would always say, you may say that, but I couldn't possibly comment. and I'm at that position now. All sorts of conclusions can be drawn, but I think journalism is just, we're actually in a realm here where sensible, rational journalism isn't a lot of help in understanding what's going on in the White House. I think you need some sense of an understanding of profound disorders, and I think most journalists spend their time trying to understand how systems work, and here we are in a position where there is absolutely no system left to the thinking that's emanating from the White House.
Right,
just a lot of headless chickens scurrying around.
And what I was thinking about was conveying that to the people that it's meant to be conveyed to. And
sure, that's what reporting is.
And that was why my recommendation.
The best reporting coming out of government right now is just listing the litany of contradictions, I suppose.
And which brings me back to why, if you take someone who, as Marshall has tagged them, is if you take someone who doesn't view. This as crazy or whatever. I'm trying to be really diplomatic here. What I'm saying is, if you give them the context, yes, the guy was staying, but he just decided, basta, then that can contribute to perhaps revising their thinking about what's going on. I'm not talking about the people who already have a very firm understanding of what's going on. I'm talking about the fact that there are people who don't. That's all. I mean, I'm sorry to say.
Well, I mean, part of our job is to get people as informed as we possibly can if we're journalists. I mean, and one of the problems of reporting on this administration is that you don't have a lot of good material to work with. All you've got is, I think the adjective mercurial is pretty helpful here. Because you just think of how mercury behaves. You try and get it, I mean, you shouldn't do this, but if you try and get it on your hand, it just slithers all over the place and drops between your fingers. I guess I'm saying very little more than that. Journalists find it very difficult to make sense of this administration, and that's no surprise. And of course, within that, it is perfectly, you're absolutely right, it's perfectly possible to argue that there is a cogent case for saying that we have no remaining responsibility in Syria. There are perfectly rational, not crazy, as Marshall was saying, not crazies, but rational people who say that we're not doing much. We're not being of much use in Syria, and we may as well get out of certainly of boots on the ground and limit our involvement to airstrikes only, that of course would have to that would require maintaining good relations with the Kurdish people on the ground anyway, because they are one of the best intelligence sources anyway for guiding whatever airstrikes we might be making. So it's not complete and utter insanity to wish to come out of Syria. But of course, to decide your policy on the basis of what is happening in the White House, that this beleaguered president is reacting to the Rush Limbaughs, the Ann Coulters, the Fox and Friendses, and on the basis of that is putting out a tweet determining policy. then we're talking about not rationality, but just reactivity.
You know, as a country, once again, if you don't learn from our past failures, which was, if we get ourselves into a bad situation where we're supporting somebody, and we let them know that we're going to continue to support them, and then all of a sudden we pull out that support, and they get destroyed, that sets up a great game for the Soviet Union and for Iran in that area.
Sure, and as Putin said, Donald is right, and I agree with him.
It's, you know, and like I said,
but then that's somewhat reminiscent of a lot of Donald Trump's career before he went into politics. There's a certain degree of when he gets to a certain point in a business deal. Oh, let's stiff the other folks. Just stiff them, and then let them live with the consequences, with no sense of the fact that we will have to live with consequences too.
I've never seen our American government appear any weaker to me than it has right now. Maybe during Watergate, but I don't even think so. I just think that our Congress is so fractured. The Senate and the House are on different planets. The president is in a different universe. It's not like it was back when Richard Nixon and the crisis descended upon this country.
I think there was probably about a week when people were extremely worried, certainly in Europe and in Japan and other allies at the time. I remember being extremely concerned, but now it's something like a pretty well embattled situation that seems to have a degree of permanence. I mean, the look of permanence about it, and there's only one way for it to go, everyone seems to think. That's certainly the feeling in the diplomatic world, which I just happened to have been more in contact with this week than usual, and the sense of everything going downward. Is a very shared and pretty well unanimous feeling,
and that somehow conveying that into this is just my opinion, but somehow conveying that into not just the people who know it circles, but getting it out into the, if you will, mainstream, I don't think would be such a terrible thing.
Unfortunately,
but it doesn't seem as though
there's a segment of the public that just does that, and I'm going to blame this on social media. There's a segment of the public that gets their news from Twitter, that gets their news from Facebook, and from even Instagram now, that just are not correctly connected to the right sources.
Yes, but they think that they. I did one of the adverts that just really makes my hair.
Where do you think we'll be sitting next week at this time?
You're asking me to predict again.
I want to see if I can catch you there.
I'm going to say that you may ask that question, Marshall, but I couldn't possibly comment.
we'll all be sitting here doing exactly. That's a great line to end it with.
I couldn't possibly comment. Yeah, because remember how this year started?
Oh, gosh. I'm not sure I do, no.
All right.
Where were we this time last year? It's an awful thing to try and cast our mind back to.
But if you did, you would find that every week, without fail, there was some just unqualified disaster.
Not this kind of disaster.
Yeah, it did.
And every weekend was a cliffhanger.
Yep.
That's true.
So,
one of the most pervasive quotes from the president himself is, we'll just have to see.
Right. we will, David.
Right. And it's the slogan of a reality television program maker, I think. It pretty well sums up where we are. Every time we take a pause, we'll just have to see what happens.
All right, so you'll do your year-end pause. I'm going to ask that you just find some, shall we say, highlights of the... You can either do highlights of last year, or you can do predictions. Those are your two.
That's the usual choice for journalists.
Yep. At the end of the year, right?
December, yeah. But I know I'm going to veer backwards rather than forwards because it's safer to put it at its simplest.
You're a smart man, and we really appreciate it. Thank you very much, David Tereshchuk, the Media Beat.
Thank you.